Yes, ma'am. I'd like to call this meeting to order. It is a special meeting of the Kenyatta Independent School District Board of Trustees. It is 6:07 p.m. on Tuesday, March the 29th, 2011. And Tony, would you be so kind as to call roll, please?
Mrs. Cousins?
Here.
Mr. Farnado? Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Searles?
Present.
Through the chair, Mr. Farnado did call me. He is running about half an hour late. Thank you.
Do we say the pledge? No? Okay. Tony, could we then continue with number two, the Board of Trustees business, please?
Yes, item two, Board of Trustees business. Item 2A, discussion of possible action regarding board travel for Summer Leadership Institute in June 2011. Dr. Martin, in a second.
Vice President Searles, board members, audience. We've done the work on the front end. We have secured the money to go to the San Antonio trip. Ms. Aguirre can fill you in. It's $10,000.
It was a little under $10,000. It was $1,500 per board member. And I believe your breakdown on the budget transfer, because we had to do a budget transfer, is noted on your board agenda. And basically, it was the district-wide funds that were set aside for, it was supply, you know, it was on a supply account, a 6399 account, and just for any instances in which we needed to set monies, you know, designate funds for either a particular, any unforeseen or unplanned situation that we encountered.
So the money is there, it's available. We would ask that the board approve that move if you desire, in light of the desire, the competing desires of attending the San Antonio conference along with the budget reduction process of last year.
Dr. Murphy, what you're asking is that you would like us to take board action in doing this?
Yes, ma'am.
And I don't see any action on here.
It's in the budget.
Oh, I do. I see it in possible action. I'm sorry. I read it right there. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
A second?
I'll second that.
And would anyone like to discuss this, or everybody happy?
Seeing that the administration had got that, I just hope that hopefully all of us can attend, because it's critical for us to take the next step. If we continue to have 100% attendance, it helps us. And you're more familiar with that, Mr. Rose, if you want to on that. So.
Yes, I would. This is one of the steps, I think, that as a board we will put this in writing a little later on, but we want to, our goal is to become an honor board. And in so doing, the first step is to become a well-educated board, and as Mr. Rodriguez has said, to all be there together, 100% participation. So I look forward to us getting trained. And thank you very much, Ms. Aguirre and Dr. Murphy, for making sure this can happen for the board. And the district, as that goes. Thank you. And Tony, could you please pull the board now?
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
And Mrs. Searles?
Yes. Oh, I am so sorry. Yeah, sure.
Item 3 is a discussion and possible action regarding changing dates of regular board meetings of April 12 and May 10, 2011. Dr. Murphy.
Ms. Searles, board members, audience, The next two regularly scheduled board meetings have some issues surrounding them that we need to discuss and possibly change. We return from the National School Board Association meeting on Monday, April 11th at 10:30 p.m. The regularly scheduled board meeting is for the next night, Tuesday, the 12th at 6 p.m. I've received calls and comments that turnaround is a bit quick. And originally, we had thought of even pressing it a full week in advance to the next week in April. However, in working with the cabinet and also with Larry Baskin, we have some requirements, especially regarding contracts, that need to occur that week that we return, or at least be considered the week we return. And so what administration recommends is that we move the April 12th Tuesday night board meeting to Thursday, April 14th, which would give us a three-day break, and then come back Thursday, April 14th. Same time, same place. Furthermore, the May 10th is a little easier, just a bit of a discussion. The May 10th board meeting, totally fine, we're here. But we are holding early voting here in this room, and that will be during early voting. Of course, it will be after early voting ends. The question would be, do we want to move everything on the sides and dismantle the early voting stuff to have a meeting, or do we simply want to have our board meeting in a different location, like the band room in the high school, or the cafeteria in one of the middle schools, or something like that. So those are the two things that we bring to you guys to discuss and get direction regarding.
Madam Chair?
Sure.
The May 10th meeting, how long does it take to canvass? I know the election's May the 14th, but Larry, is it 72 hours or is it?
I was just looking that up. I knew you were going to ask. It's not earlier than the... Let's see, if election held in uniform, the election date, not later than the 11th day and not earlier than the third day after the election.
Not later than the 11th?
Between the third and the 11th day after the election. So the election is on the 14th. So that would take it to the 17th through the 25th.
Because I was thinking, since that's the case, I don't want you all to, on May, I'll be in D.C. that whole week, but... the 17th, we could probably canvass and just kill two birds with one stone. That's what I was thinking. I don't know what the rest of the board feels.
One thought on that, if I may, sir, is, to keep the election in the public eye, it might be good to have a meeting. Of course, we don't have very much attendance, but one more thing on the calendar, though, for... DC 2011, for people to come and speak and have an open forum prior to the election, that sort of thing.
The other thing is, the election day, if it's the early voting site is till what time?
7.
Till 7?
I don't know, I didn't bring
it. It's on the documentation that we've received from
TBR,
but I don't have it.
And I think it's 5. I think they shut down at 5 on early voting. Election day goes to 7. There's one other issue. You probably won't get the election results for about 5 days because of the change in federal law. They have to wait for the overseas ballots to come in because of the 2000 election. Even though state law says you can do it as early as 3 days, county elections never releases it until 5 days afterwards just because they wait for any overseas ballots to come in. So I'm not sure it'd be ready by the 17th.
And on that part, I don't think it would be good practice to, if we have early voting here, to have the same... to have a meeting where there could be public discussion on the item and then somebody may...
Well, that's why we were wondering if we just had to go to a different spot.
And I would be more comfortable if we were to have it that week to go to a different spot, if not have it the next week.
But. Mr. Rodriguez, is what I'm hearing that you do not expect to be in town...
The whole week.
...for the whole week, that first or that second week of May?
The whole week.
Okay. And that it would be really better for you if we did all of this sometime between the 17th and the 25th, which would be right in line with canvassing the votes.
And the best thing to do is to kill the two birds so that way we don't have to come back.
I understand. And does anybody know what the date, what day of the week the 17th is?
It's a Tuesday.
Tuesday.
But Larry's saying he probably won't be back by the 17th.
Yeah, Javier Chacon never releases results that quick. The federal law requires him to wait 5 days for overseas ballots to come in. So
what about the 19th?
Yeah, the 19th so would be the other day.
Yeah, probably Thursday. He usually releases a late Wednesday. You have it for Thursday. It'd be about the earliest.
Yes.
I have a question for administration. How does this affect other agenda items that we might have to address?
Well, and that's an excellent point, Leti. Also, along with that, we do have policy that says we're supposed to have a meeting the second Tuesday. So if we're putting it off a whole week and a half. There's that. And then also, maybe the departments can chime in, but there's always time-sensitive items.
I know that we were going to be presenting on another budget update as well as the first salary presentation for next year, but there is no set deadlines or timelines we must adhere to. So as far as that I can think of, work the depository bid will be up, but you know it's still within the time frame.
Can we do it the week before?
We could do it. We could probably do it the week before. The only other thing is, if that's early voting, I'm not comfortable with it being in the same vote.
Mm-hmm. I'm not either. I agree with Rondo that the rules are you're really not supposed to have anything where there might be electioneering in the same building where you're conducting voting. So that means if somebody stood at an open forum and said vote for the bond issue, it would be technically in violation. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, does anybody have a problem? Is the 17th then just the following Tuesday? Does anybody have a problem moving the regular board meeting to the following Tuesday? Possibly then just come back on Thursday for a quick canvass of the vote.
I have a commitment that
we'd have
second
to hold Wednesday.
Tuesday is always kind of deal, and the third Tuesday is always the core.
Okay. Wednesday?
What about Thursday so we get the third?
Just do it on Thursday so we fill all the requirements.
So that way we could have that 5 day and make sure that happens.
Okay.
So we could just kill the two birds.
Does anyone have a problem with meeting on the 19th then?
Lord, Ms. Searles, if I could add one
thing.
Also in all of this is our upcoming Employee Service Award night, which actually was scheduled for the 19th. Of course, we can move it. We haven't told anyone about it yet.
Okay.
But postponing the board meeting by a week will then run it up pretty tight to the Employee Service Award night. So you're going to get two meetings real quick there. I just want to let you know that. If we had the board meeting on the regular week, the week of the 10th, we'd have a couple weeks, and then we would have the Employee Service. If we wait a week, you're going to have the Employee Service, then you'll come right back probably the next week, probably just on Monday night, 3 nights later, and have the Employee Service Awards. So, just know that that's a factor.
Wouldn't we also be doing the canvassing of the election returns? So anyway,
we're going to have to come in.
Yeah.
So anyway, you look at it.
We're going to have tight meetings there.
Yeah. Does anyone have any conflicts with that?
The service, it's not a meeting, but you're going to post. Is that what you're trying
to do? Right. It'll be similar to last year at the high school auditorium. We'll probably have it Monday or Tuesday, the 23rd or 24th of May. Great. No problem.
Everybody's
administration is fine with this. No problem.
I'd like to entertain a motion to change the dates of the regular school board meetings of April 12, 2011 and May the 10th, 2011 to April the 14th of 2011 and May the 19th of 2011. Could I?
I so move.
And second. Thank you very much. Tony, could you please pull the board?
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes. And I guess I'm going to take the lead then. And Dr. Murphy, once again, is on. In process and possible future RFPs and RFQs.
Ms. Searles, board members, audience, thank you very much. We wanted to give the board a full update of everything in the world of RFP and RFQ that's going on in our district and very well is upcoming or possibly upcoming. And Mr. Gatlin is the lead person in our district regarding these items. He's done great work. To be honest with you, he knows a lot more about these RFPs and RFQs than I do at this moment. And so I'll turn it over to him, and we'll move forward from there. And this is a discussion, so feel free to break in and ask questions.
Thank you, Mr. Gatlin. Floor is yours.
I would like to let you know that we have completed 17 bids already this year, and we're looking at about another 8 that I have to complete this summer. So I'm going to be very, very busy this summer. Right now, we still have the professional staff development services that's coming before you tonight for approval. The depository contract is coming up that has to be brought to the board in May, so we can send it off to TEA to do it. TEA contracts, everything has to be signed before June 15th. So I'm moving on that real quick. We're going to be posting that this week. It'll be out on the streets. And the 21st of May, we'll take bids on that. We'll decide on that and form an evaluation committee. We'll evaluate that and decide which depository we're going to go with again for the next 6 years. We've also got our legal services bid that's still out. We're still evaluating that. I just completed my errors and omissions review of that. Find out that there's no errors and omissions. Everybody did what they were supposed to do as far as completing the RFQ.
You said that you had a spreadsheet.
Yeah, I'm going to be working on a spreadsheet for when we get the evaluation team together so that we can, you know, show what they can use to evaluate it. You know, have they ever done business with school districts before? You know, are they located locally? That sort of thing. We're going to have a spreadsheet developed so the evaluation team can do a good job of evaluating the bids. And then they'll do their recommendation, bring it to the board, and then you will decide on which ones you want.
I'd like to stop you there.
Okay.
Historically, that has not been done by anyone but the board and the superintendent. And I'd like to open the floor to the board. How do you feel about the presentation of the RFQs, and who would be your committee?
Well, administration would form a committee normally, like we do for our insurance, and our usually all of our E-rate bids are all also mm-hmm. have an evaluation team. Usually a director, an executive director, or usually get a maybe one of the school principals, couple of teachers, maybe an office secretary or department head, or also they mix it up where we mm-hmm. get a good mix of people. And then this is just a recommendation. That's not.
Yes. Okay. Not, so, Mr. Rodriguez.
Just real quick, how many bids?
We had 4 bids.
RFQs. So we have 4.
Yes.
I would say we follow sort of the same process that we do with the superintendent and with the how we did sort of with our internal auditor.
Exactly.
But we don't have that many applicants to actually form a committee where we have to screen.
Mm-hmm.
Are they all fully qualified to to present to the full board?
From what I can see, yes.
Okay.
I would like to offer to the board a suggestion. I think it would be very helpful that if the board would each come up with 3 to 4 qualifications that they feel are pertinent, relevant for what we're looking for in legal counsel, and send them into Dr. Murphy. And then possibly, you know, I don't know exactly, I haven't really thought about this scenario or this, the sequence of it, but I'd like to get some feedback. Does that sound appropriate to the board that you'd like to, you know, everybody put in your 10 cents worth? Ms. Mendoza?
I agree with Mr. Rodriguez's suggestion that we handle it, that the board handle it much like we did the internal auditor and develop questions and do the interview process ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's if I may, that's the direction that we need from the board. And either what Ron was talking about, we create an internal committee and bring you a recommendation, or we stay out of it and you guys interview the 4 and move forward.
What I think I'm hearing, Dr. Murphy, is that, and help me, board, that we would like to interview the 4 as we did with our internal auditor.
Of course, you could do a hybrid. You could do both. We could do it, and then you could do a second interview. Or you just
I think I like what Mrs. Mendoza and Mr. Rodriguez have suggested. I'm seeing nods from the board. Ms. Gonzalez, do you have?
I would like to submit, I'm right now.
I know, I understand. You like submitting some questions, maybe?
I will submit questions. Yes,
okay.
I will submit questions.
So does that sound like it'd be okay for you?
Yes.
Okay.
You know what I was, if I might, Madam Chair? On the question part, I guess we could all submit them to the superintendent, sort of what we did with the superintendent.
Exactly.
Have him and maybe the internal auditor look at them so that way they're not redundant.
Exactly.
Maybe formulate them and then bring back the questions so before we interview.
Absolutely.
We could decide which questions we want to ask. Does
perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Just send me your feedback and I'll get with Diana. One of my specialties, writing interview questions.
So okay.
Send me your stuff and I'll get well, you the
questions. Ms. Quintana, do you feel this is a good process for you? So what I'm hearing, Dr. Murphy and Mr. Gatlin, is the board would like all boards hands-on, administration hands-off of this process. And that we will submit our, I'd say no more than five each. 3 to 4 would be probably preferable.
We'll combine them if they're the same.
Yes, and have the internal auditor work with Dr. Murphy to have no redundancies and come up with a cleaned up, edited list for us. When would y'all like to submit these questions?
What is our deadline?
We have quite a while. It's 120 days.
Okay.
From the date of the bid close, we have 120 days.
We actually could wait till after the TRE, which is only 35 days away now. We do have some leeway. Or we could do it quicker. It's up to you.
Possibly. We could submit our, we could begin the process. In the next 2 weeks, we could submit our
questions.
Our 3 to 5 questions. And maybe in the Friday packet, receive back.
Yes, ma'am.
The refined edition.
2 weeks from this Friday.
Does that sound good to the board, 2 weeks from Friday?
Tony, help me with that, please.
Should we just do it at the next board meeting so we sort of try to get them by that May, what is it, the 14th meeting?
April 14th.
April 14th meeting, try to get the questions so we all know more or less.
I think that we'll get that in a Friday packet in 2 weeks, which is probably about April the 14th, more or less.
Well, actually, wait a minute. That Friday, we're at the National
We're gone School away. Okay, so 3 weeks.
Yeah, it'd be the, which would be the meeting?
Okay, so
that's what I'm saying. Try to get it so we all know April 14th would be, and then we could, I think.
We couldn't have it as an agenda item.
Because it
would have to be confidential.
That May 19th is going to be too much.
Why don't we have a special meeting with that being the only agenda item, possibly, and that we can.
Well, I could. Let me do
yes.
a hybrid here. Over the next 2 weeks, prior to the National School Board Association meeting, you guys could give me your ideas. I could, with Diana, formulate questions and get them out to you in the Friday packet after we return from National School Board Association the day after the meeting. The meeting's on Thursday. On the Friday packet, you'd get them. And then I could say, if anyone has any questions, comments, and then we could just dial up.
That sounds reasonable.
We wouldn't have to have a special meeting.
Okay. That sounds very reasonable.
But you're talking about a special board meeting for interview.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Absolutely.
And then we could schedule that. Then I give you the Friday packet. Then we could schedule the interviews for
that sounds very appropriate, Dr. Mark.
Right. After the TRE?
Sure.
Because by then we'll already be into late April.
Ms. Quintana, good with that? That sounds very well. So what I'm hearing is, Tony, we will have our questions turned in by?
Before we go to NSBA.
Okay.
Please.
And if you could please give us in some red letters in the Friday packet, don't forget your questions.
You'll get it tomorrow in Eagle Notes. You'll
oh, good. Okay, perfect. I have mine already.
Yeah, then good, start sending them.
Okay.
Larry?
Please, Mr. Gatlin, I'm sorry. I think that we finished that, and I'm sorry to have interrupted you.
So, like I said, I'm going to have a very busy summer. We're also going to be going out for our workers' comp, third-party administrator cafeteria plan, and our liability insurance this summer. So this is all going to be due by August 31st.
Okay.
So it's going to be a busy summer for me. We're also working on the vending machine services. So may not be Pepsi anymore. We'll see what happens. I'm going to try and integrate some advertising opportunities in there, our scoreboards and stuff like that, our marquee at the high school, so we can generate a little bit more revenue from our advertising possibilities. So we'll make them talk to us about that. Our records management, our shredding, that does our shredding, our auctioneer services, and also we're working on a bid for some evacuation and wheelchair lifts that we need to be ADA compliant. That is as of today. Who knows what's going to come up later down with us.
That's a lot. You've got a full plate, Mr. Gatlin.
Right now, the depository contract is what I'm working on now.
Okay.
That's so that'll be a quick turnaround.
Yes. We've got 3 weeks to get that turned around. I'll bring it to you on the April 14th meeting. No, I'm sorry, the May meeting.
Yes.
We're going to close it on April the 21st. We'll be able to look at that and decide and bring it to you. So.
Okay, now we changed the May meeting and moved it forward by a week. Is that okay?
Yeah, as long as we can get it to, we have to sign contracts and get them sent to TE by June 15th. All the information has to be by them. So, and be very cautious, make sure we pick the right person, because there's not enough time to go back and say, you know what, well, let's go out for bid again. We just don't have time, so okay. We have to do it right the first time. Due to the fact that we're moving our year-end start date to July 1st instead of September, normally we would have had to August 31st to get this done, but we still have to.
Thank you. Mr. Rodriguez, sure.
The other RFP that we have control of is our external auditors.
Yes.
And we had gotten some word that where we might be looking at, because we changed our fiscal year, and so the timeline, a concern I have, we've already gone out for our on that.
I've got it prepared. It's ready to go.
So you had
I'm just waiting on the administration to tell me to go ahead and go with it.
The only question I have, if we're going to go out for RFPs or RFQs this early in the game, we should have done it at the same time with the legal, or waiting on it, and let's say if we were to, because we're going to GPB or Jim, what is it?
JRB.
GPB. JRB. If we don't go with them, then I have. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, if we don't go with the current external auditor, which we had looked at switching mm-hmm. the external auditor, so that way there's some accountability there. If we don't do it this summer, or let's say if we go out for the proposals and we get them back this summer, we approve somebody else. And we have GRP with the contract. It's sort of like, are they going to, mm-hmm. If they don't get it, are they going to do the job that they need to?
I would like to think they would, but I understand your perception of what could happen. So what are you saying, that we should possibly postpone that for a year?
Well, it's up to, should we do it right away and get it done for this fiscal year is a question, one, or should we just wait for the next fiscal year? We'll go out for RFPs on the external auditor, like in January.
Dr. Murphy?
As I wrote in Friday packet, the administration has three possible options immediately in the fall, when school comes back on in August and September, or in the springtime, late spring next year in May of 2012. Administration highly recommends one of the two latter choices, either this fall or a year from now. Administration really would rather not change the auditor situation in the next couple of months due to fiscal year change.
If I may?
Yes, please.
My concerns and the reason that I had written the memo to you requesting for delay in actual RFQ bid was because, because of our change in fiscal year, we are moving forward. We're 2 months into audit season, and we're actually a month away from beginning our audit process again. Our audit, our financials, will be presented to the board for approval in November because of our new fiscal year change. And so my recommendation or proposal was that we could begin the RFQ bid process in December, so that we are ready by April. You know, we've established
that then you know, that the auditors will have an opportunity to get to know the district administration as far as procedures and policies go, and then in turn be ready to proceed with a new audit for fiscal year 12 in April of next year.
Mr. Rodriguez?
I mean, I'm fine with whatever the board wants to do. I think it's a little too late to actually do it this year, but if we're going to do it, I mean, we're going to do it, but let's wait till December. Let's not process this summer and pick somebody this summer where, in the end, we don't know if they're going to provide the quality of work if they don't receive that contract for that following year.
So do we have any discussion on... Ms. Quintana, have any thoughts? Ms. Mendoza?
I don't have a problem with waiting either.
So December, you'll get it ready?
Ms. Gonzalez,
yes, we'll begin the process in December to be established by mid-January, if not late.
And I think that we had board action the last time on this, but I think it's sufficient to just direct the administration to continue on the path to we look at this in December.
Thank you.
Does the board feel... Or would you like to have action?
I'm fine.
Okay. And Dr. Murphy, if you would please follow.
I just have a question. So are there bids out there or no bids?
Oh, we have got off a bid. It's not on the street yet.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So it'll be a process that will begin in December. It won't end until early spring.
Does the board understand that and feel good about that?
The last issue is we extended last year, and there was some, what do you say, well, with our health, Blue Cross Blue Shield, last year we extended it a year.
Yes, we have one more year on that contract.
Is it one more year, or is it?
It expires August 31st, 2012.
Okay. And so what are we looking at doing there?
I'll go out for a bid on that probably next spring also. So we can do, because that's going to be a long, lengthy year.
Ms. Carrasco?
We have a proposal that we're going to bring before the board in reference to our health benefits. We do have one more year allowed for an extension, and we're putting together that proposal to come before the board as far as our expenditures and as far as administration's recommendation as to what we want to do with the health benefits.
So that will be forthcoming.
Thank
you very much.
Does the board need to take action to extend the external auditors?
Yes. Depending on the contract, but
they'll have to see
on
what
that one we do.
Contract.
We'll check into it.
Could you, and please come back to us, Dr. Murphy, so we don't...
Well, one other one that I would like there to be, well, two other. One is this professional staff development services, which is item 3D on your agenda. Mr. Gatlin, can you talk about that one?
This is a bid we put out for the professional staff development services. Basically, everybody that bids on it, they meet all the requirements. We can award it to all of them. In this case, we're awarding it to all three vendors because they are capable of doing professional service, staff development services for the district. That does not mean we have to use them. I mean, we have them on a bid. We can use them. We can extend it every year and have them available if we ever decide to use them. We've already met the bid for, requirements, and we can go forward with it. Yes, ma'am.
Sir?
Yes, please, Ms. Gonzalez.
Those three vendors that you listed there, what were the requirements? I noticed that, well, you mentioned that you used a spreadsheet. What were some of the requirements that you based it on to meet those qualifications?
Well, they just have experience in school staff development, and basically that's it. There was a spreadsheet on the bid that they can actually click on and tell me which services they offer, either for bilingual, for special ed, staff development, all kinds of stuff. So I'll give you a breakdown on the bid if you want.
And again, if we approve these, it is as I wrote in Friday packet, it's an initial approval to actually use them in any type of robust way where we're spending a lot of money to train our entire staff. We will have to come back to the board for further approval to actually spend the money to utilize these staff development vendors. And at that point, we can have a full discussion. All this bid is to minimally and initially qualify them to be on the list that we then can choose from.
Briefly, how many vendors did you bid on this?
Actually, four of them bid on it. One of them, they turned their bid in late, and I had to refuse it because it came in late. Mm-hmm. So actually, three of them bid on it. It was posted in the newspaper and on the website for 2 weeks. Actually, 3 weeks on it.
Beth shared a conversation with Dr. Murphy today, and one of them I'm on video games.
So what would be, let me ask you, Mr. Gavin, can you expound on, is there a requirement to take all three? Does the board have to do that, or can they pay?
No, they can choose if they don't want to approve one of them, that's up to the board. On some of the general terms and agreements, is the contract is not exclusive to any vendor. The district makes no express or implied warranties whatsoever that any particular quantity or dollar amount of products or related services would be procured through the contract.
With that said, Mrs. Gonzalez, if you would like to remove that from the consent agenda and we discuss that at the time, if you would like to remove one of them, that's fine.
The only issue you might have is if they want to come back and do open records and ask why they were. I mean, that's just one thing you have to look at.
Mm-hmm.
We can award it, and they're, you know, we don't have to give them any business. It's up to you how you want to deal with it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gatlin. And Ms. Gonzalez, maybe think about that a little bit. Mr. Rodriguez?
Just going back on our external audit, Ms. Gasco, there was three external audits that we went out for. One was our financials, the other one was our health benefits, and the other, and workers' comp. Are we going out for all three, try to combine and look at separate?
They'll be all separate bids. They have to be separate bids. So liability insurance, the third-party administrator for the cafeteria plan, and workers' comp.
But they all have a similar end date.
Yes. They all end August 31st of this year.
One additional one, Ms. Searles, and board members. As you know, as the legislature moves forward, it's looking very bleak across the state regarding the cuts that are coming. There is a bill that has been put forward by Representative or Senator Pickett. I don't know if he's a representative or a senator.
He's a rep.
Requiring countywide transportation services, countywide bus services, that all districts consolidate their busing. And he has this in committee. Well, there is a pushback from
agenda?
Yes, this is possible RFPs.
Okay.
Okay. And I don't know if it would be an RFP and RFQ for bus services.
Be an RFP.
Thank you.
I was approached, and as I wrote to you on Friday, by Dr. Garcia, Superintendent El Paso ISD. And Dr. Garcia is concerned about this and is wondering if we, as a entity of Canyon-Tio, El Paso, and possibly Anthony, he's also talked to Anthony, want to do an RFP for a combined transportation bus service to go out and see if there is any money to be saved. The feeling is that there really isn't, that there really is not a lot of money to be saved, and we could use that information one of two ways. First of all, if there is a significant savings, well, then that's something we really need to consider. But if there is not a significant savings, we can show the legislators that that is really not something that will save a lot of money. And so he asked me to come to you and wanted to know if you would be interested in going into, I guess, Larry, you could help me, an interlocal RFP that would look at a consolidation of bus services for El Paso ISD, Canyon ISD, and possibly Anthony ISD, and to just take a look and see what that would do. Because Representative Pickett is wanting to force this across the state.
Dr. Murphy, is what you're saying that I'm not really clear on the purpose. Are we going to have to use our buses to, you know, take somebody somewhere other than to our schools, or?
Well, that would be what the RFP would discover. How it would, I wouldn't even venture on how we would do it. We would combine fleets, or we would hire a company that would bring in a whole new fleet, or we would keep our own fleets but share management. The RFPs would have to flesh that out to see if there was any savings. Again, this is in committee in Austin. There's a desire that, well, you know, if the districts are not going to consolidate, well, maybe we can at least get them to consolidate something, and they're landing on this transportation. And Dr. Garcia is not bringing this to you guys in any way to take over Canyon. He's simply wanting to do two things. First of all, show the legislature that it's not, it very well is not cost effective to do. And second of all, he also wants to take the advice of that committee and see if it is one way or the other. But no matter what, to communicate back. Of course, it also might be a little late, an RFP on this. I don't know if we could get the information as quickly to the legislature as we needed and if it would be effective. But he has called me and asked me if we want to participate. And I said I would go before my board and I would ask. So that's what I'm doing. It's no harm. I mean, it's an RFP to see.
So what you're saying is something like how the Marriott used to offer food service to school districts and would come in and take over their food service people, and they would become
Marriott employees, or
yeah,
you know, and so, there's a lot of different models for it.
Gee, my personal opinion is I'd like to write Joe Pickett and the legislature a letter from our district and tell them no thank you, and that we don't support that.
I guess Dr. Garcia feels the same way. I think he does feel the same way. I think he wants to back it up with, and look, we did an RFP, and look, it doesn't save us a nickel. That's kind of his thought.
Mr. Rodriguez?
I like to look at consolidation of services sometimes. Thing is, I think you could, without doing an RFP, you could do some groundwork with some of the vendors that are at NSVA or at the state level. I have issues with consolidation, but I like to look at efficiencies. And looking at consolidating is very tough, especially with a bigger district, because I think an analysis in the long run depends. There's no equality. You know, they'll probably take all our good buses because El Paso really doesn't have any good buses.
No, they have terrible buses.
And then they'll use them for Franklin, and then, you know, so that's why I'm completely against consolidation of the school districts. I think we could probably look at, well, that's a different issue, but I think what you can do is do some groundwork and see what.
I would like to ask the board if Dr. Murphy or Mr. Baskin can come up with a letter saying that we oppose this and do not send it to Mr. Pickett, to Representative Pickett, and to, you know, send to Rick Perry too.
On his committee.
That this is not good for students and it's not good for school districts and we don't like it.
And we also can say in the letter that we did bring it up in the board meeting. We did consider it,
yes,
but we chose not to pursue it because we were opposed to it.
Yes, that's
that shows that we did take at least some action. Mm-hmm. And again, I want to emphasize, Dr. Garcia's, he's being, being somewhat political here. I don't really believe he wants to mess with the consolidation of buses either, but he wants some data to show Representative Pickett that it really is not a positive thing. That's the angle that he's coming from. He's not coming from an angle of, oh boy, good, now I can finally take over Canyon. That's not where he's coming from.
Yeah, he's been eyeing our nice buses.
He's trying to respond to this issue at the state. But I think you're right. I think we could write a letter that said we considered it, we chose not to, and please don't do it.
And I would think that that would need to be done as soon as possible and sent out ASAP.
Well, and then I want to finally finish up with, I can take that along with the resolutions to Austin. The trip was approved. On Monday, I will be going with five other superintendents. Six of the nine El Paso superintendents will be in Austin on Monday. We already have meetings with Jose Rodriguez. We have meetings with DeMargo. We have the big meeting with Chairman Eisler of the Public Education Board. We're trying to get a meeting with Steve Ogden, Chairman of Finance. And finally, the guy from Amarillo, Selinger, who also is writing a education rider right now. And we are very excited about taking stuff like this that we're talking about and having El Paso Superintendent's Day at the Capitol. I am taking Gustavo with me. Gustavo is going to chronicle the entire day. He's going to put back on his El Paso Times hat. Instead of being my PIO, he's going to work with across all the superintendents with interviews and pictures, and we'll try to get the message out as much as possible to make education a priority.
I have a question.
And we'll take this letter with us when we go.
What superintendents are going, sir?
The superintendents that are going are Paul Branish, Tornillo, probably Poncho from Fabens, Ed Gabaldon from Clint, Zolkowski from Isleta, Lorenzo Garcia from El Paso, and myself. Those are the six that are going.
What about Socorro?
Socorro, it is his wedding anniversary, and his wife will not let him go to Austin.
He's a smart man. Just so the board notes, our president has just gotten here. It's looks like it's about, I can't see the clock, Tony. There's the closer one. Thank you. And Mr. Coronado, we are presently on item 2C.
And just to finish, if any board member has any item like the RFP letter to picket, those types of things to take, the resolutions which we will prepare, I will hand deliver those to the legislature on Monday.
And I think that it would be appropriate, you know, there's something about hand delivering that's good, but there's something about getting it in the mail that's good. You know, sometimes hand delivered, you don't know what to do with it. Oh, that's a good place. The trash. I would make sure I did both and possibly even a certified letter to make sure that they got it.
And Ms. Rodriguez will deliver the resolutions that you put forward as well. We'll go over there on Monday.
Oh, good.
I'm sort of, how do I say it? Like, I'm with whatever the board wants to do, but I think I'd rather look at something before I make a decision, and not necessarily do I support, you know, the fact that we have consolidated services of buses, but I would like to look at that idea and all possibility to see. I mean, whatever the board wants to do, we'll go from there. But I'd rather make a sound decision on having information and data so that way I could say, okay, well, this is completely a bad idea. And then we have an ability to say, okay, you know what? This information that we got, there's no savings. It's going to cost more, or there's a savings of, you know,
10%. I suspect Dr. Garcia will have, he's got a big staff. We have poor Mr. Gatlin who just read off all the things he's got to do. I don't think we've got time to ask him to put something else on his plate. Let Dr. Garcia do it, and when he comes up with it, we'll just go, yeah, that's right.
And so I don't have a problem, but I'd rather have that instead of, you know, they come back and say, well, you were completely against it, and then they say, well, what solutions or why are you completely against it?
Because we don't want them to pirate our nice buses. But I understand where you're coming from, but I think immediate action is probably...
Yeah, we have to get it to the Senate committee, to the House committee. And what's the committee on? Can we get that bill sent in our Friday packet?
Tony, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gatlin and Dr. Murphy, for presenting, and thank you, Dr. Murphy, for bringing... taking the banner, holding it high, and going to Austin.
We're really looking forward to it. It's going to be a unique, I mean, think about it. When was the last time six sitting superintendents did something like this from El Paso? And to go over there and have meetings with Chairman Eisler, on the El Paso delegation, Senator Rodriguez, we really hope that we can make a difference, and we know that Gustavo will do a great job in the PR side of it as well for all the districts involved. And I do wish Socorro was going. That is the one that I wish she was going, but she can't fight a wedding anniversary.
Okay. With that, board, shall we move along to number three, the consent agenda?
Just real quick on the clarification. So we're going to send out a letter to this the House committee on opposing it. And are we open to the idea of Dr. Garcia looking at?
Sure, he can do anything he wants to do.
But does he need our consent or direction?
No, he'll do it if he likes it, and you know, if he's got some great plan, I'm sure he'll get a hold of Dr. Murphy and be forthcoming to us with it.
I'll communicate with him this evening. He has a board meeting tonight as well. And I'll have it Friday, Wednesday evening.
Okay. Moving on to the consent agenda, I believe Ms. Gonzalez has already indicated she'd like letter D removed for further discussion. Am I correct, Ms. Gonzalez? Or have you felt better about it?
I'll let administration handle that.
Okay.
I can tell you, Ms. Gonzalez, that before we use that vendor in any significant way, we will bring it back to the board.
Thank you, Dr. Murphy.
There is a spending worth $10,000. Anything above that will come back to you. And I doubt we would use them for anything less than that. If we were going to use them, it would be for a larger item. So it will come back.
It's just the approval of the RFP. So like if we choose Kagan, if we want to use them, we're going to come back. It's over to $10,000. We still have to present it to you again for approval also. So.
We just ask that happen. And it's a hard time for Ms. Gonzalez right now. So just if the administration would be concerned and kind about that for her. Thank you very much. Anybody else like to take anything from the consent agenda for further discussion? Ms. Gonzalez?
I do.
Okay.
Item E.
Okay. Which is consider approval of architectural services for cafeteria improvements at NECHS. Anybody else have anything? No? Okay. Ms. Gonzalez, you want to tell us what your thoughts are?
On here, are they going to be making an addition, or what is it exactly that they're going to be doing?
Or this is an E?
Yes, sir.
What the request is for is kitchen improvement. The current kitchen right now, Natchez, is pretty much a warming and then serve. We're moving food from the high school to Natchez, and then from Natchez they come and pick them up and they serve. What's being proposed here is she wants a full-fledged kitchen. She wants to be able to cook there. Because the transferring from CHS to Natchez has been, you know, a problem as far as moving food over. They currently cook everything and then they bring it over to Natchez. So what she wants to do is she wants to introduce a full-fledged cooking kitchen, which includes stoves, warming, ovens, things of that nature. And for that, we're required to do a complete redo of the kitchen in order for us to be able to put in an exhaust fan system, fireproofing. We have to provide gas lines to handle the loads, the new loads that we're introducing, increase the size of the grease trap, and we also have to bring in refrigerators and freezers. Now, my understanding is that the equipment is, we have the equipment. We have the refrigerators, we have the freezers, we have the stove, we have the ovens, we have all that equipment. What we're doing is we're remodeling the inside in order for it to accommodate those items so that the health department will allow us to call it a full-fledged kitchen.
Is it going to be portable then, or?
It's actually in the same portable.
Oh, same portable.
Yes, we're remodeling the existing portable, and it's still up in the air that, you know, we're moving in three more portables into that area. We may look at, without having to affect this, so they can keep on operating, maybe we'll do the remodel on one of those portables so that we can just do a switchover without interrupting service there. So that's the option that I'm proposing.
I understand that there was a complaint because some of the students were complaining that they were not being fed the same amount, the same portion as the high school students, and that they were not had choices. So that might have contributed.
I don't know anything about that, Mrs. Gonzalez. I don't know about the feeding end of it.
I think we all could agree that the transport of food is the less desirable option than having their on-site kitchen, and that could contribute to a problem like that. Although I don't agree with that either. But I,
yeah, if you're going to transfer food, that is true. If you're going to transfer food, you're going to limit yourself to how much you can transfer over. Okay? In other words, you only have so many of those warming ovens that you can transfer over with food, so you limit your selection or your choices, and I think that may be one of the reasons.
Mr. Armendariz, why can't the children walk to the high school?
I guess they could. I think it's really one of my concerns about walking over, and I'll say this is crossing that street that's between those two. We've had countless accidents there.
Okay, well, that's a good reason, safety.
About kids for that, for safety, yes.
That's a good answer.
If I may, Board President Coronado and board members, it takes about 10 to 15 minutes to walk from Natchez to the high school, and so that would be 30 minutes in transition. And it is also a very busy street, especially at that time of day. And regarding the complaint, there was a complaint from a parent, and she actually there was more than one parent, and they were interested in pursuing an additional meeting, but they did meet with Adele Baelish, and she did indicate that one of the reasons that they are unable to provide more choice is because they would have to get an additional van in order to offer more than one choice, because they can't transport additional offerings in one van. They would have to double the equipment and have an additional van to do that. So that is one reason that they can't offer the choice. Other than there is essentially one entree and one choice for students.
Yes, Mr. Rodriguez.
I had sort of brought up this concern during the bond program, the fact that I had visited that campus one time, and just them having sack lunch is an old place to be, and so we talked about brick and mortar. We went for brick and mortar at that meeting. What I'm looking at on this, I mean, to put it in a portable, I don't know if it's the most optimal, but I don't want to spend bond money because while we've already approved our bond program that we want to put in there, but I know that in the past we've used our federal fund balance because it has to be drawn down. I don't know if there's a possibility of us looking at just doing a kitchen type
It would not be allowed because it's federal funds and it would become EPCC property, and therefore we wouldn't be.
Wouldn't the portable become EPCC property?
No. Right, but the only thing, the kitchen equipment that will be installed is removable. And that's the only thing that's been purchased with federal funds.
What about purchasing a portable like the
like Ramtech, who sells those science labs?
Some type of portable that would be federally funded where we could ask EPCC if we were to, depending on what happens, switch the contract, which that building would not become part of EPCC, and use that federal funding for that. Is there possibilities of...
I think that's something that we need to discuss with respect to the MO, right?
We are currently renegotiating our MOU. It's required that the MOU be revised this year, so that's something that's in progress.
That's something that we could do is approach the that contract again, that agreement that currently says that anything that is taken there is going to remain there. But that's something that could be, I guess, discussed by Mr. Baskin, that you can help us with that.
Right. Well, it's easy to fix that once y'all reach an agreement. We've modified
each in agreements with
other issues.
So the issue is it being federally funded, they cannot have it. So can we revisit the fact that maybe we could look for some type of portable if we have to draw down the fund balance, and then you guys bring it back to us, because I think we have sufficient time on this, right? Because it wouldn't be for next year.
For something like that, I would need to go back and see what the dollars would be so that you all can make a decision, based on dollars and what it's going to take to...
I want something that is, going to be beneficial to the students, where they don't have to go outside and get dirt in their food, or if they want, they can go outside if they want, but the choice that they have to go outside in.
A kitchen dining facility.
Yeah, right. Some type of...
a portable unit.
That could be, that we could use our federal funding that we've had.
And that we could just haul away when... We finish our contract with EPCC.
If it continues for 20, 30 years, great, but we have that authority under that because it's federally funded that
I understand.
We have the ability to take that out.
Ms. Aguirre, do we have time to consider that and look into that?
Well, definitely the discussion would have to be started with EPCC to see if they would be willing to actually draw up the contract with that stipulation. As far as federal funds go, the consideration could be done. The only consideration we need to keep in mind is that we have to be able to call it district property, regardless of the time frame that it sits in that.
And Mr. Baskin, could you facilitate that?
I could.
Will you?
It's the way we've got the contract right now, because the portables were old and couldn't be moved again. We made the arrangement that after 5 years we would leave them behind. Mm-hmm. Can't do that, obviously, with federally funded equipment.
Could you then make like an addendum or on the new that this cafeteria?
Yeah. Yes.
Mr. Armendariz just mentioned that it would be something somewhere in the neighborhood of $500,000.
Oh my!
So that's another area we'd have to.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
I think we could probably look at. Let's look at it. If it's 300, 500, let's see what the drawdown is on the fund balance. If we have to, Dal's really good at that. But let's postpone this so that way we can make a sound decision on that. I don't see the point in investing on a small, portable that.
I understand. Ms. Calcetus?
I just wanted to, what are we looking at staffing?
The staff that was through the budget reductions that we had last year, we closed down the test kitchen. Some of that staff was rehired to serve at Neches, and right now they're currently housed out of the high school, Garantia High School. So right now both staffs are there. It's a small group of employees, but nonetheless she does have a staff that's already on the payroll.
So we don't need additional staff. Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you envision that the, I know you said that the kitchen and the dining facility would be in one portable?
Well, for what was being shared as a possibility of a bigger facility, it would have to be that way. Currently, the way it is you have a dining facility, which is a small portable, same right. thing, and a kitchen facility, which is another small portable. And what I'm hearing is that something that's a little more functional would mean that it would be a true cafetorium, which would be an in-house kitchen with a dining facility.
There's think about the small portables. There's probably about, 15, 20 students.
That's what I'm
imagine during having a snack bar in there, and then, because I went and there's a snack bar, it's pretty much a snack bar where they're feeding. So if we do a hot, trying to do hot foods, then it's going to take up more space. So they only have one portable, and there continues to be an increase in size this next year. So I mean, they're outside, and I mean, there's food outside. That's where they have. So if it's windy outside, that's what you're going to eat is dirt. And so
Mr. Rodriguez, but and the board as well. What we would like for Mr. Armendariz to do, with also the help of Mr. Baskin, is to look into a bigger facility, what the cost would be, can we use federal funds to buy it, and what would the implications be, and bring that back to us at a later date.
And to make some changes
yes,
to the MOU.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
Mr. Chair, one concern is this postpones the improvement of the quality of food. Because by doing what he has on the agenda tonight, we'll get a hot kitchen and we'll improve the quality of the food. The longer we wait, just know that that's still
well,
going to be an issue.
I think that summertime's coming
quickly,
and that, you know, they've been suffering a long time, apparently.
Of course, if we do go with a larger facility, it might bleed into next year before it's actually up and running, which will postpone and continue this negative issue that we have for a while.
We just
need to be aware of that.
Mr. Coronado?
Thank you, Madam Chair. guys, there was a plan for the that facility out there to have a brick and mortar multi-purpose room, which included a cafeteria and a multi-purpose room where the kids could eat or do, you know, they could actually put all 400 of them in one place, that they could talk to them in one place. They don't have such a facility over there at all. I don't want them going over to the high school. A high school has two, three shifts already to feed our high school kids. We're trying to expand it out there, the outside area, so that we don't have that problem when we grow out there. I think the board planned previously to have a multi-purpose facility with a cafetorium and the administrative offices all in one building. And that was the previous plan. We have drafts of that particular, and it included actually two of the labs, the chemistry and physics labs, in there. We decided we didn't have the money. Actually, not we didn't decide, but we just didn't have the funds for it, and we ended up doing the chemistry and the physics lab as portables, the bigger portables. And even those have their constraints, as what we would have envisioned in our long-term plans for that facility. I think it's an issue. I think we need to deal with it, but I think we need to explore both options. I'm frankly of the opinion that any portable type of facility that we buy, whether it be a kitchen already on wheels or something to that effect, is obviously going to depreciate quite substantially. Just the equipment itself, we can purchase with federal funds. That's not an issue. We've done that before.
The equipment already exists.
The equipment exists if we need to expand it, but we're talking about 400 kids. I don't think we can fit them in this room. Just think of what it would take to feed and house for feeding 400 kids. It's going to take a room quite larger than this. Any portables we find are not going to cut it.
I think what Mr. Rodriguez was saying is, am I right, that there is a company that makes a specialty item?
Well, the issue here is we looked at putting it in the bottom of the program, and the consensus of the board feels that they don't want to build a brick and mortar to that facility, so we have to respect that. The second thing is how do we build or create an area where our kids at Natchez could have the ability to eat comfortably during lunch. And so the issue is, if we are able to use that federal fund balance, then let's try to do that to purchase and to build something that's sufficient to at least handle half or a quarter of those kids where we could have
a bridge.
Yeah. Let's look at something, but since it's federally funded, we have to look at the fact that our MOU states that anything that's built on that becomes part of Natchez. So we need to revise that and see if we could come up with a bigger portable, like the science portable, or something just where it's just, you know, they could have hot food and they could sit down and eat, and some of them could go outside and get, you know.
Mr. Armendariz, do you have a kind of a grasp of what Mr. Rodriguez
yes,
is?
I know exactly what
okay,
he's asking.
Okay, good.
And I think I can give him the information. A lot of it is because of the federal funds. That's where it's coming from. And I think from the standpoint of Mr. Coronado is, you know, it's that or building a brick and mortar. Personally, I think I spent all day there today, and it's really difficult for those kids. I mean, they're having to go out and eat outside. Wonderful weather right now.
Right now.
Right now, exactly. And then come winter, I don't know, I was even thinking, I said, what do they do in winter? And what do they do when the windy season and the sand is blowing? So it is very difficult, and it's a very difficult decision to be made. One of my concerns, though, is, as Dr. Murphy had brought up, is that what do we do right now in the meantime today? And they still, you know, they're still going to be mm-hmm. struggling with this. And I was doing some just quick numbers here, and I was saying, well, right now we do have funds set aside to do the remodel of that kitchen. And if I was to get approval, I would at least get that thing up in a couple of months or less, okay? Which means that they would be, you know, it would be operational. And then if something came up at the same time, if something came up, I mean, we'll still continue with your recommendation, and it, you know, and let's say we said, yeah, we want to go that route. That's probably going to be an 8-month thing. See, so if we don't do anything right now, then we're talking about another year of
so let's get the show on the road and give these kids something that's better than what they have.
But
maybe
let
not.
Let it not be, you know, let it not stop there. Let us look into it, because there could be something that we could do. It might turn out to be that we might be able to do something brick and mortar. You know, we don't know. And it might be that your idea would be plausible. You know?
Mr. Coronado?
Thank you, Madam Chair. One of the other things we need to explore is that if we do, and I think feasibly, in terms of long-term investment-wise, we're better off with a brick and mortar. I think we've kind of pretty much decided that, you know, the early college high school has been a good idea. A lot of our kids are getting college credits. You know, unless we've decided that we're going to stop that, I think the long-term plan would be to have a brick and mortar. And let's ask the community college to help us fund this. It should come out of our own pocket. If we're going to do a brick and mortar and they're going to keep it, it's not a portable, we need to let them step up and say, okay, look, we're willing to put so much money. And instead mm-hmm. of us putting the money we were going to put in a portable, let's put our half towards a brick and mortar that's a more permanent solution for these kids, and not waste our money on depreciating portables. And after 5 to 10 years, those portables are, you know, depreciate quite a bit. Mr. Armendariz?
You're correct. I mean, of course, that's why they're called. That's why they're
portables.
That's a decision that the board is calling that. It's, where do we get the funding for the brick and mortar?
Does the board have a problem tonight approving that, since we've already got the finances, we've already got the ball rolling, to let the administration go ahead and do what they've got done and come back to us with a plan for the future?
Well, if I might, Madam Chair, what's the projected expenditures we're looking at coming out of our budget when it comes to money-wise? Not we have the assets, but...
For the kitchen remodel, we budgeted $75,000.
Okay, $75,000. I don't see a problem with even going to community college and pay half and half, whatever, but it depends on the consensus of the board. But the thing that I was trying to look at is the fact that, first, it's not in the bond program unless we had savings, so we would have to look way further in. Second, is that we could probably use federal funding from the fund balance to the money Adele has to actually accomplish that. So if that's the case, then what happens is that if we do have that federal funding to use, and I mean, we have it, but do we need to draw it down is the other question, and how much? So if that's the case, then we can't have a building that we're going to use that money and give it to community college. So that's why I was thinking of a portable solution.
Well, I would suggest that tonight, let's just vote on what we've got before us, which is, do we want to approve the architectural services for the cafeteria improvements at Neches? And through your vote, up or down, that will cause the procedure to either go or not to go, and we can take it from there.
The only thing is that if we're going to spend $75,000, which could probably go to maybe a $300,000, $400,000 portable, mm-hmm. it's best that we table it and have you all come up with options at the next board meeting. I think we need to do this right and not spend that money before.
So, yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
I have a question, too. You're serving how many students, 400 students, do they all get served at the same time in order for food to be hauled? I mean...
No, we do have two lunch shifts. We have approximately seating for about, I'd say, if we put half of our lunch group at a time, like two classes, that's how we have them split. Next year, we will have two classes in each shift. And so there's not enough space to accommodate them in the seating area. And that's when we have an issue. And usually what we do is we open up classrooms. And so they're eating at student desks. On days when it rains, for example, that's what we do. We open up classrooms to accommodate them. I can't tell you, you know, if you count the tables, it will say that the seating is more than it is, but that seating must be for elementary size students.
And I understand what you're saying, but I mean, this problem that was addressed, this was not something that just came up. I mean, these students are right now juniors, they started as freshmen. This has been an ongoing issue, and it just got, and that, it didn't happen overnight.
It has been. We used to have one lunch shift, so it was a problem then as well. But I think the complaint was really about the quality of the food and not really about seating.
And portions.
And portions, yes. One of the things that the parents were saying, however, we were, Rosa was able to demonstrate that, you know, the portions are appropriate and really the same as the high school. So, you know, because if there's portion control, what they were not happy about is that they weren't able to get seconds. And, you know, there are rules regarding whether they can have seconds of certain things anyway. That's not really an option to provide seconds. So what they were left with was a concern regarding having choice. And so if there's not something that a person can eat on the menu, then they don't have something to eat.
And my concern now is, yes, I understand that the students are very, and the parents are very disgruntled, for lack of a better word, But this has, again, this has been ongoing, and we're trying to approve this tonight or not approve. I don't know. Again, these students are, some of them are graduating next year. I don't know. It's up to the board to see if we kind of approve it or table it or...
Yes, Mr. Rodriguez.
$75,000. I just want to make a motion that we table this for the next scheduled board meeting, which is May 14th.
April 14th. It's okay.
April 14th. And with administration coming back with different recommendations, whether it's a portable, whether it's a brick and mortar.
Okay. Do I have a second for that?
I'll second that.
Motion made and seconded to
table
this item of considering the approval of architectural services for cafeteria improvements at Natchez until our next regular board meeting, when the administration will come back with some various options and prices.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, before you vote, I just want to thank Ernesto for the work that he did on the current item. And also, did you notice he says he's been out there all day? The freeze really hit hard at Natchez, knocked one of the restrooms completely out of service, water fountain issues, and he's was out there all day today. Actually, myself visited there yesterday, and Ernesto, thank you very much for working on that. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Restrooms are open.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Mr. Armendariz, and thank you for your further consideration into looking in this.
The staff, they're good staff.
Thank you very much. With that, it takes us to number four, the reports. Oh, I'm so sorry. Vote on the consent agenda, and I guess let's take A, B, C, and D, and then we'll take E separately.
There's a motion to table, which takes precedence. You need to
okay.
vote on that first, and then the rest of the consent agenda.
With that, Tony.
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. González?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes. And now, do I have a motion to...
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Which would be letter A, consider of the budget amendments, B, consider approval of purchase of scientific calculators for the Northwest Early College High School, C, consider approval of purchase of copy paper for district-wide use, and D, consider approval of award of RFP 11-17 for professional staff development services.
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. González?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes. And that now takes us to number four, reports and our career and technical education 5-year master plan report. And we have our presenter right here. Good evening.
Good evening, Board President, Mr.
Coronado. Ms. Rafa, why don't you sit down?
Oh. Good evening, board members, Mr. President, Mr. Coronado, board members, and Dr. Murphy. My name is Patricia Arago. I am the CT coordinator for the district for technical education. This evening's presentation topic will be on career and technical education. What is career and technical education? What is Achieve Texas? RCT enrollment as it stands today. New programs, RCT 5-year plan, CT work in progress, and final summary. What is career and technical education? It is a large and diverse educational enterprise spanning both secondary and post-secondary education. It encompasses a tremendous number of programs designed to prepare students for employment. The new versus the old. As some of us remember, vocational education, which is now CTE, vocational education was only for some students. Now it's for all students. It was only a few jobs. Now for CTE is for all careers. It only has 6 to 7 programs in vocational ed. In CTE now, it has 16 career clusters and 81 forms of studies, which I will further discuss that elaborating in community taxes. In lieu of academics, now CTE aligns and supports academics. Vocational education was only a high school focus, and now CTE is a high school and college partnership. CTE emphasis, the CTE program leads directly to entry-level employment and post-secondary education training. It emphasizes its place on preparing the CTE students with high-level technical and academic skills. CTE programs help students achieve academic success, experience increases in earnings, and improve employment outcomes, reduce dropout rate and absentee rate to achieve post-secondary success. What is CHIEF Texas? It is an opportunity to redesign schools to ensure that every student is successful. The initiative calls that for all parents be actively involved in our children's career and educational goals. As you can see there, CHIEF Texas is mandated by and directed by TEA. CHIEF Texas has 16 career clusters and 81 programs of study. Each school district selects 3 career clusters. In order to mandate our Carl Perkins, which is our federal funds, we must have at least 3 career clusters according to the needs of the district. Here at Gunnfield, we currently have 9 career clusters and 16 programs of study. We have some students that participate or attend, such as a career in technical education, which is CTE. So at Paso ISD, we cover all 16 career clusters, and we have 29 programs of study. So that fulfills our students' needs. Currently, we have enrolled 65.5 students in CTE through coherent sequencing courses.
We have 65% of all our students that are secondary enrolled in CTE.
Yes, that follow coherent sequence, of course. So where do CHIEF career clusters fit in, and what are they? Career clusters are grouping of occupations. Program of Study, or POS, is a recommended sequence of coursework based on students' interest or career goal. As you can see right here, we have our CHIEF Texas 16 career clusters. There's 16 career clusters. Out of those 16, here at Canutillo, we have the agricultural program. Next year, our school year 2011, we will implement our arts and AV technology. We currently have business management, our education, enhancing our education, our finance, our health science program, hospitality and tourism, human service, information technology, and we're looking into implementing our law, public safety, and correctional security cluster, and we have the STEM. Well, I've talked to you about career clusters, but what is a program of study? If you look at our PowerPoint or your presentation that was given to you in your packet, agriculture, food, and natural resources is a career cluster. The programs are studied are the food products and processing systems, the plant system, the animal system. Those are program studies. Those program studies equal courses. So the students have an opportunity to choose from those areas to go and follow the program sequence of courses. Our CTE enrollment. Currently, our enrollment with Canutillo High School in 2009, 74%. Now, as we speak, our enrollment for 2010 has increased to 91.5. And the reason because we submitted a 10-period waiver, and it has been approved, and we implemented it this school year. So we have given a tremendous, our enrollment has tremendously increased because of the of the 10 period, that gives the students an opportunity to choose a program to study. Natchez, we just implemented the school year. Out of 263 students, 124 are enrolled in our first CT program, which is information technology. AMS, from last year's enrollment, 34% went up to 40%. CMS from 36% to 38%. And the reason, because we had a change of TEKS last year, and we just implemented in this school year. So we had some more programs to offer. And we brought the principal's program classes to the middle schools, and that gives an opportunity for our middle school to acquire a high school credit.
Through the chair.
Yes.
This screen, when she showed me this, it was pretty amazing because, well, two things. First of all, we're all about improving our CTE. And, you know, there's concerns about improving CTE. And right here is some data that shows, goodness gracious, we're having quite a year this year at 91.5% of all our students enrolled. Secondly, it also needs to be taken into context of the cuts that we made. 9% of our overall budget, 32 teachers taken off the district. Programs slashed, AVID, wrestling, these types of things. And yet CTE increased from 74% enrollment to 91.5%. And during that time that we also decreased. I think that's just really a fantastic number that we all should be proud of.
Thank you, Dr. Murphy.
Thank you.
Looking at the next slide, the enrollment for career clusters. This is based on the career, clusters, and this is 2009, and the top career cluster was information technology slash business, because last year, information technology was business education, and of course, because of the change of the TEKS, it has its own cluster in itself. And looking at the 2009, look at the numbers. First, it was information technology slash business, agricultural science, health science, education training, STEM, and finance. Under this year's enrollment for career clusters, again, information technology stands as the high, agricultural science is second, business ed, human services, health science, STEM, and finance. And again, as Dr. Murphy stated, and I've stated, look at the increase between 2009 and 2010 as far as in the career clusters, and it's due to the fact because of our 10th period. It's given the opportunity of students to select more electives. Here at the bottom, I've indicated Centers of Career Technology Education, CCT, which is at El Paso ISD. We still maintain the 25 students attending, participating in 2009 as well as 2010. And it's something that we have to look into to better improve and offer more opportunities for students to attend CCT. New programs under construction. Some of the new programs under construction are revamping of current programs to mimic industry trends. And that is the Agricultural Food and Natural Science Resource Cluster. We're trying to implement the Energy and Natural Resource Technology, as well as the STEM program. We're implementing the Electronics program. And I'd like to give kudos right now because next year, we're implementing the Arts and AV Technology Communications Cluster, as well as the Law of Public Safety and Corrections Security. For the teacher that will be teaching the graphics design illustration is our currently art teacher. So we have recruited her, and she has taken her CTE certification based on her industry experience. She will be teaching the graphics class. And then our forensic science is one of our, acknowledge the teacher is Ms. Elizabeth Miranda, one of our teachers at Pedro High School. And then one of our agricultural science teachers, Ms. Kelly Munkwee, she took her certification for the science component, and she will be teaching the forensic science. So all we need to hire is a law enforcement instructor.
And we do have that in the budget. Through the chair, one comment I'd like to make about this screen. I know there was a lot of interest, especially on the board, about the energy and natural resources technology, the green technologies. We did have that as an offering. We did talk it up, the counselors. We had a total of how many students sign up for it? One student, sir. Only one student signed up for the green energy program. Only one, after we talked to them about it. So, although I understand the push and the whole issue with Fort Bliss, we've been unable to get the traction with the kids. So I just wanted to note that.
And yet, if I may come here, we our career fair was a very successful career fair lecture, but a lot of people, I mean, Ms. Miranda and of course our law enforcement program, I mean, they just got attacked. They have their steps and everything, and they just have to make extra ones, and they went to the sun. I mean, they just got attacked. I mean, that's a new thing I got to deal with, and students are interested, as well as the culinary arts. And besides our teachers promoting the program, our students from the culinary arts were there promoting the program. Next is our kind of view CTE 5-year plan at work. In preparing for our 5-year plan, all these initiatives are incorporated in order for our students to be successful in district, in our district CTE program. I will be presenting each initiative on a separate slide and elaborate more accordingly. The first initiative is pathways to post-secondary transitions.
And Pat, as you begin this, board, I've looked at this very carefully. This is a 5-year plan, and you'll notice that after each item that is proposed to come on board, there is a timeline attached to it. The one slide that we never got around to making is we need to create a spreadsheet that shows the implementation years of every single item. We'll get that to y'all on Friday packet. Go ahead.
Okay, on pathways to post-secondary transitions, we want to provide either career cluster or program of study. Career cluster is the architecture and construction cluster. Dr. Murphy mentioned, we're implementing it for the 2014. Because of the economy around here, there's demand and the growing development, and according to our students' assessments, we're looking into that. Under the program of study, we want to increase the health programs and the medical assistance, as well as provide an EMT program in our health science. Under information technology cluster, we are implementing the computer programming this coming school year, and eventually the following year, computer maintenance program. To continue the pathways to secondary transition, we also want to increase the field trips to universities for direct exposure on career degrees, which is currently happening, but we want to be able to extend it. And I'll explain to you why. Provide the ability to earn certifications and increase and improve the current certifications. Currently, it's ongoing on cosmetology, auto technology, and it's an honor to inform you that Mr. Ron Gill, as of today, I went and took the plaque to him. He has been approved as a trainer to certify students in welding. So that's something that hats off right there. Under the power mechanics program study. The next initiative is CT student organizations. And we want to increase the participation in leadership competition. Right now we have approximately 100 more students. And we do have a lot of students, even though we have a lot of students enrolled in CTE, but some of them, for some reason, some of them are in FBLA, HOSA altogether, so they have to make a choice of which competition to compete in. Starting tomorrow, Skills USA, which is under the Culinary Arts Program, they will be competing, so they'll be going to Corpus Christi. FBLA is leaving on Thursday. TSA is leaving on Thursday, so half of my CTE sponsors, advisors will not be here because they will be participating in student leaderships. Also, through FBLA, BPA, Business Professional America, Future Business Leaders of America, we want to promote student scholarships along with what the concierge or the school provides for students. Mm-hmm. And we would like to implement, we plan to implement, the CTE National Honor Society, National Technical Honor Society. And also provide CTSLs, which is Career Technical Student Organization Leadership Workshops for students. under the Community and Region Partners Initiative. As you well know, Dr. Murphy has been very successful. It's in a Cheek Texas initiative, having our best partners. We plan to continue and expand. And meeting with these business partners, they would like to provide workshops for our senior class students in job skills and provide presentations. We're having a career fair, which I will discuss, and so we plan to invite them to that career fair. Also, our CTA Advisory Board Committee is very strong. I have approximately 45 advisory members serve in CTE, and we want to expand, believe it or not, because as our growing clusters in program of study, we would like somebody to represent each program of study. And they are here basically to help me review the effectiveness of the program, our career clusters, also to participate in judging and CTSO events. Also, we would like to provide workforce internships for our students. Right now, we do have a career preparation program, formerly called the Diversified Career Preparations. And as a matter of fact, right before spring break, State Farm Insurance, which is across inside the freeway, they came to visit me, and they would like to offer career opportunities for our CT students and career preparation students.
State Farm also has asked to be part of our BEST program next year.
Thank you, Dr. Murray. And then also, we would like to continue and expand our job shadowing K-12. Our next initiative is Achieve Texas Career Development. Again, we'd like to provide district-wide job shadow events K-12, where it starts with elementary career awareness, middle school career exploration, and high school career concentration. Currently, under the College Tech Prep Initiative, we have three programs of study already articulated to EPCC. And because of the change of TEKS, we are currently awaiting for EPCC to approve the other articulations in the areas of hospitality and tourism, human services, business management, which is human resources, business law, and of course, our upcoming cluster of principles of law. So we're working on EPCC, we're just waiting for them to finalize our articulations. Also, we're currently working through College Tech Prep, of course, working with NMSU for articulation in agricultural and family consumer science. So this is the reason why I stated to you all that we would like to assign to visiting UTEP or EPCC. We would like to just take our students to go visit NMSU. The continuation of our College Tech Prep initiative is also, we're working with Western Technical School of College to provide these articulations in healthcare, automotive, welding, and information technology, as well as IBC Energy Power. And they just recently, right before spring break, invited me to attend their open house, and they're implementing energy power classes. And NMR in the medical field, Career Concepts, formerly Vista College, also in the medical field. Our student subgroup is one of our, I guess, main capsules of all the rest of the initiatives. Student subgroup PBMS compliance, PBMS, which is our performance-based monitoring assessment systems, which was mandated in 2003 by House Bill 3459. It's an accountability system for our special population, and it evaluates student performance, program effectiveness, and data integrity.
And this is where we're getting our audit later this week. This is largely involved with this slide.
Let me explain to you the performance level. We're at the performance level 3, which is not good. 0 is the best. 1 is good, which we've been there the past 5 years, 1. And then 3 and 4, if we get two or more 3s and 4s, it requires a site visit. And we will be having our visit starting tomorrow. And because of that factor, level 3 on our CT Limited English Proficient students, our state standards, these are our state standards, but we did not meet the state standards based on our district CT, and these are only students that are limited English proficient. This is our special POPs students. And let me just tell you that this is based on last year's data, and we have 1,168 students enrolled in CTE. Out of those 1,168 students, 49 students, limited English proficient, failed the tax. So this is based on 49 students. 49 students, 35 were LEP, 13 were LEP and SPED, and one special ed. Here, again, is the special ed, or special POPs. And again, these are our state standards. And again, we're below our state standard. This is district CTE special POPs. Overall, as a CTE program, we have all students that are enrolled in CTE, we have met all state standards in math, reading, science, and social studies. So this is not a program concern. This is a systemic concern. But let me, this is not part of my PowerPoint, but I would like to take the time to acknowledge that based on this concern, as of October, when we found out we were going to have a visit, I developed a core analysis team, which involves a lot of constituents. And I'd like to acknowledge that we've come together as a department, as a program, as a cabinet administration, as a central office to address these needs. And we're working to address these needs. And we're looking forward, we're ready for TEA tomorrow, Thursday morning. So it's been a very learning experience and a very collaborative effort among all these constituents to help out and help out these special COPs to be successful.
To the chair, if I could make a comment about this. So basically what they're saying is they're saying, okay, we send you money for Kate. So how, within Kate, how are your LEP kids doing on tax? The ones that are enrolled in Kate. How are your special ed kids who happen to be enrolled in Kate doing? The problem with it is that that's not how a high school principal thinks. A high school principal thinks about all the kids and how they do on tax, not simply the Kate kids and how they do on tax. You see the difference? And so when you go to the principal and you say, well, how are your Kate doing, kids doing on tax? That's not how they think. They think, well, how are all your kids with all the LEP? And so we've had to go in, and we have, to Jim's credit and to the middle school as well, and pulled out all the kids that are enrolled in Kate who happen to be LEP. And the number's small. So what did you say, 50 kids?
49 kids.
49 kids. And we're going to be able to show that this year we've had remediation, we've had at-risk programs, we've had careful looks at all those kids, and we know that the audit is going to come out really well with that. And so although the principals don't really think like that, they've thought about that this year to make sure that those kids are taken care of. And hopefully we'll see an increase. It is a little bit unfair, though, to judge a program which has 1,100 kids based on just 50. But that's why we got gigged, was because of that 50.
Thank you, sir. The next initiative is instruction and professional development. As I mentioned before, our teacher recruitment, in order to be successful in CT and serve all students, we're